Why is it that harm can be done in an instant, while healing requires days, years, even centuries? We exhaust ourselves trying to repair damage faster than the next wound can occur. Dr. Wellington Yue, Souk Medical Records. Since the former emperor decided to accompany the inspection group out to the terraforming sites, a simple trip out to the barren lands became a matter of such complexity that it rivaled the preparations for a major battle. The imperial aerial transport was stocked with food and refreshments and staffed with at least one servant for every high-ranking passenger. The Kizaras accompanying Irulan and Shaney saw no benefit in the former emperor's presence. Many of them could not understand why he remained alive, since any fallen Fremen leader would have long since been killed. But Irulan told them to keep their objections to themselves. It is the way things are done. Aboard the large floating transport, Jessica remained alert for frictions among the Fedaikin, priests, and Carino household guards. A few Sardaukar troops formed a personal bodyguard around the fallen emperor to protect him in case any of Muad'Dib's men secretly tried to assassinate him. Jessica knew, though, that if Paul ever decided to get rid of Shaddam IV, there would be nothing secret about it. When Shaney directed the Fedaikin and the priests to their places, Shaddam made little effort to hide his scorn from her, remaining aloof in the forward observation area of the floating transport. A mere concubine should not be ordering men about. His voice was loud enough to be heard over the hubbub of settling people. Chaney's hand went to her kris knife, and the Fedaikin and the priests were perfectly ready to go to battle then and there. The Sardaukar moved close to the former emperor in a tight protective posture. But Jessica placed fingers on Chaney's forearm. She said, also loudly enough to be heard, "The former emperor is merely incensed that his own role is even less than that of a concubine. I was once a concubine, and now I am a ruling duchess." Shaddam was startled by the insult, and when Count Fenring chuckled loudly, he turned red. "Enough of this posturing," Irulan snapped. "Father, you would be well advised to remember that my husband could sterilize Seleucus Secundus all over again. Everyone here would be most pleased to complete this inspection as soon as possible, so let us go about our work without delay." As the aerial transport departed, Jessica selected her seat, placing herself between Chaney and Irulan. Though they shared no affection, both lived in the Arakeen Citadel and had long ago learned to tolerate one another. Each wanted something from the other. Chaney wanted to be called Paul's wife, and Irulan wanted Paul's love. Jessica showed no favoritism to either, lowering her voice to keep the conversation private. "I need your insights, both of you. I've been isolated from my son for so long, I'm not sure I know him any longer. I see his decisions only through a filter of distance and biased reports, and frankly, much of what he does disturbs me. Tell me about Paul's daily life, his mood, his opinions. I want to understand him." Most of all, she wanted to know why he so easily accepted slaughter in his name. Long ago, when Paul had slain Jameis in a knife duel, Jessica had squashed his feeling of triumph, forcing him to feel the consequences and obligations of that one action, that one death. "How does it feel to be a killer?" Her son had been stung, shamed, and now he blithely allowed the deaths of billions. "I am Paul's mother," Jessica thought. "Should I not love him and support him anyway? And yet, if he continues on this course, the whole galaxy will see him as history's greatest tyrant." Irulan's words were stiff and formal, but she allowed a faint glimmer of pain to leak through. "Paul does not speak openly with me. Chaney is his confidant." Jessica didn't think Chaney ever criticized or questioned Paul's actions. Chaney shrugged. "Muad'Dib is guided by prescience and by God. He sees what we cannot. What is the purpose in asking for explanations to that which is inexplicable? True to his promise, Paul had assigned his best planetology teams to Seleucia, and they remained out in the field, combing the landscape, setting up testing stations. The men rarely had any need to come to Shaddam's domed city. Jessica gazed out the leisurely vessel's Plaz observation window, seeing clumps of hardy shrubs, arroyos carved by abrupt flash floods, and bizarre twisted hoodoos of rock sculpted by the hammer winds. Despite its unpleasant environment, the planet supported a reasonable population of hardy survivors and descendants of prisoners who had been deposited over the centuries. Here and there, sheltered domes and prefabricated structures were nestled in box canyons. Crops struggled to grow beneath retractable reflective tarps that provided shelter from the worst blasts of weather. "Seleucia does not look so harsh in comparison with Dune," Chaney said, standing next to her. "It is obvious that people can survive here if they are careful and resourceful." Irulan came up behind them, but not comfortable by any means. Chaney shot back. "Is it Muad'Dib's task to make them comfortable? That is something people must do for themselves." "They are trying," Jessica interjected. "Humans caused this damage long ago, and now humans are trying to fix it." Shaddam announced from the viewing platform on the bridge, "Our destination is the Northwest Basin, the site of the most extensive restoration work." He pointed to a prominent line in the terrain. "The ground team's current camp is in the base of that dry gorge. You can see all you need to see from the air."
"We decide what we will need to see," Chaney said. "Take us down there. I would speak with the planetologists face to face. They are doing work in the name of Liet, my father."
"No. We can see quite enough from up here," Shaddam replied, as if he had the final word. But Chaney would have none of it.
"Irulan and I have instructions to observe."
She glanced sidelong at the princess.
"Unless you are afraid to get your hands dirty."
Incensed, Irulan turned to her father.
"Take us down now."
With a beleaguered sigh, the deposed emperor passed instructions to the pilot. The aerial transport and its accompanying ships landed like an invasion, startling the planetology team at their labors. Wearing dusty, stained jumpsuits, the terraformers left their machinery and hurried forward to greet the visitors. The two men in charge of the Dry Canyon worksite were Lars Siowaska from the Stark planet of Kulat, and a stocky man who introduced himself as Komba from Grand Hain. Neither of those worlds was a pleasant place, Jessica knew. Siowaska's appearance unsettled Jessica, for the man was tall and lean, with sandy blonde hair and a neatly trimmed beard. Was he intentionally mimicking the late, murdered Dr. Liet Kynes? Though the visitors included Shaddam IV, his daughter Princess Irulan, and Lady Jessica, the two planetologists were most impressed to meet Chaney.
"Daughter of Liet, we are honored that you have come," Siowaska said, bobbing his head. "My companions and I all completed our training at the School of Planetology in Erekin. Please, let us show you our work. It is our heartfelt goal to honor your father's teachings and his dreams."
They bustled around her, ignoring Shaddam, much to his annoyance, even though he had no particular interest in the operations. Chattering to Chaney, the two team leaders expressed unbridled enthusiasm, rattling off the hectares reclaimed, temperature gradients, and relative humidity traces. While they droned on with obscure numbers, percentages, and technical details, Chaney dropped to her knees in the loose, sandy ground of the canyon floor. She dug her fingers into the soil, working them deep, pulling up pebbles, sand, and dust.
"This world is more dead than Dune."
Irulan remained standing, pristine and beautiful, profiled against the wasteland.
"But Seleucia is more hospitable and getting better. According to the reports,
New ecosystems are catching hold, and the worst storms have abated in only a year. Chaney stood and brushed her hands on her thighs.
I did not mean dead in that way. Seleucia was ruined by atomics and used for centuries as a prison planet. This place is dead in its soul.
The planetology team hurried to finish their preparations for a large test.
Deep scanning shows a substantial aquifer sealed beneath Caprock, said Siouxsie.
We were about to break open the barrier and create a channel so the underground river can flow again. It'll change the face of the continent.
Very well. Get on with it, Shaddam said, as if they had been waiting for him to issue orders. Over the next hour, the crew packed their equipment and machinery, withdrawing their transports to the rim of the canyon above. Komba and Siouxsie asked to be invited aboard the observer's ship in order to provide commentary. With the canyon worksite abandoned and explosives planted in deep shafts, the rest of Shaddam's ships withdrew to a safe distance. Komba and Siouxsie pressed up against the observation windows, and Jessica sensed the genuine dedication of these men. The wait seemed interminable. Shaddam uttered a complaint about the delay, only to be interrupted by explosions that rumbled deep beneath the ground, hurling debris and dust in a feathery pattern against the wide canyon walls. From behind the plume of smoke and debris, a roiling, stampeding wall of water spurted like pumping blood into the confines of the canyon, dragging layers of sediment with it. The surge swirled centuries-old dirt into a brown torrent that churned along. Komba let out a high-pitched cheer. Siouxsie grinned, scratching his sandy beard.
Seleucia will become a garden in half the time it'll take us to reclaim Dune. In only a few centuries, this place will be a fertile world again, capable of supporting many kinds of life.
He looked as if he expected them all to applaud. Shaddam merely made a sour comment. A few centuries. That does me no good. He did not behave as if he planned to stay here that long. Jessica studied the man closely, and from the furtive look in his eyes, she sensed that he was hiding something. She wondered what Shaddam and Fenring might be up to. She did not believe for a moment that the Carinos had meekly bowed to their circumstances, abandoning all further ambitions.